You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Ravens Weekly, and this is episode 98 as we edge ever closer to the Magic 100. My name is Matt Hall and as always I'm joined by Jeff Hutton. Jeff, how are we doing this week?
I'm very well, thank you. Evening all, morning all, afternoon, whenever it is.
Whenever you're listening, isn't it really? Well, it's been an incredibly busy week, hasn't it, Jeff? And we're going to get started with the trip to Tunbridge Angels in the FA Trophy, which was, for some of us, a little trip down memory lane, wasn't it? We've said that before.
You've been touching on it every single week for about the last month, at least since the draws made. But yeah, always an enjoyable trip down to Longmead. Fantastic crowds on Saturday. Matt, I can't remember what they officially announced.
I think it was 2,100 and something,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. And yeah, it was. I was going to say it was a really good atmosphere, but it was strange. I don't know if it's just because we're so used to segregation and stuff like that. There was a couple of awkward moments, and certainly for the penalty there was a few issues with away fans being in the end, given it was taken at the end where the majority of the Bromley supporters were, and a couple of cat face masks were as well, but it felt a bit like trip down memory lane in some ways, but trip down memory lane. But I think on the pitch, like I say, Matt, how many was it, nine changes, you know, and then fans have got all sorts of opinions on that, obviously. But for me, when the game got going, just watching Kellen Fisher just grow into the game, and absolutely, it was absolutely brilliant.
It was, wasn't he? And a player that looks really, really young, actually. And I think probably that works in his favour, as the opposition might underestimate him in terms of his physicality. We saw him sliding in with challenges.
There was a header he rose for that just beat two men. It was absolutely brilliant to see. And I know he's certainly unofficial man of the match. I don't know who was the official man of the match, but a fantastic performance. And like you say, Matt, to be fair, not ideal, but 1-0, when you think it's... You think it's job done, really?
Well, yeah, I think there were a few of us that thought that at 1-0 in the 83rd minute. But unfortunately, it wasn't job done for Bromley at that point. Obviously, Tunbridge pulling back an equaliser in the very last minute, which pulled it to penalties in the end. Not something Bromley fans are overly fond of, penalties, including myself. I'm sure you agree on that one, Jeff. And it was a long afternoon, but it was Bromley who progressed to the next round in the end. Here's how it all went down at Longmead. Sablet in towards Coulson in the box. Good chance here. Coulson back across the face of goal towards Palace Francis, who scores. And that's his first goal for Bromley. It's Palace Francis who initiated it. Luke Coulson with the ball into the box. And Palace Francis marks this substitute appearance with a goal. And what an important one it could be. The in-swinger, it's a dangerous delivery. Balcombe claims it and drops it. And Tunbridge have an equaliser. And it's Turner who smashes it home. Henry Balcombe unable to hold on to the ball there. And it's a last-minute equaliser for Tunbridge. Here is Joe Turner, who scored the equaliser right near the end of the game. Stepping up. Saved by Balcombe. And it's all over here. Joe Turner, who was so close to being the hero here at Longmead, misses the penalty. It's a second save from Ellery Balcombe, who made the error to concede the equalising goal, and he saves Bromley in the penalty shootout. He recreates that bit of history when he saved two penalties in a single game for Doncaster Rovers. He saved two in the shootout here. Ellery Balcombe, take a bow, despite the mistake, showing loads of strength of character there. So, Jeff, not all plain sailing on the day, but you look like you enjoyed yourself in the away end.
Yeah, it was thoroughly enjoyable, I must admit. Like I say, there was a bit of a moment in the penalty shootout when a few Tunbridge fans sort of came round and were in the end. And despite that, Tunbridge's security did quite a good job. But no, like you say, Matt, delightful the goalkeeper, to be fair. You know, obviously an error in normal time, but he made up for it in a penalty shootout. And, yeah, through to the quarterfinals, Matt.
Absolutely.
Two games from Wembley.
And the reward for that was a home match against Needham,
Needham Market.
Oh, no, sorry. Solihull.
Unbelievable. I don't like the fact they've done on radio. That's all I'm saying. Why is it not filmed?
Yeah, anyway, I think Stockport got Needham Market, didn't they? But anyway, yeah.
Did they? Oh.
Yeah, which is ironic. But anyway, we are home to Solihull Moors, who, of course, we've already faced at Hayes Lane this season back on the 8th of January, and that was a 2-1 victory on the day, the first victory or first match of 2022. And it's a repeat of that game in the next round, in the quarterfinals, which is, it feels like it's getting really real now, doesn't it?
And because of the semi-finals, we're only one leg this year, so you're literally two games from Wembley now.
How incredible is that?
Absolutely unbelievable. Absolutely. And obviously, Matt, it wasn't the only game on that Saturday. Obviously, the under-23s were in action as well.
Yes, they were, and they won 3-1 away to Maidstone United, despite going 1-0 down at the Gallagher Stadium. Huge credit to Steve and all of the team at the under-23s. They've been fantastic to watch this season, and a great victory in is a local derby, really. 100%,
not many easiest for Steve Harris this season. Obviously, a lot of the young players have been given opportunities and game time with the first team. They've also been sent out on loans to get some first team experience as well. So, not necessarily straightforward for Steve, but like you say, a fantastic win down at Maidstone, Matt.
Absolutely. But of course, the bad news is that as a result of Storm Eunice, tonight's game against Chippenham Town at Hayes Lane has been called off. So disappointing, as I know the boys were looking forward to getting back in action at home. However, next Saturday, Jeff, obviously no first team game going on at all. That means the under-23s are going to have the pleasure of a 3 o'clock kickoff on the stadium pitch next Saturday.
In daylight.
Absolutely, really looking forward to that. That's going to
brilliant.
Be,
who's it, Met Police?
Yes, it is, yeah. Ooh. So, brilliant, really looking forward to that. And, of course, we would love your support on that day. The team would love your support. There is no first-team action, so why not come on down and get behind Steve Harris's team? There's a lot of talent in that team, so really looking forward to that one. And I know the players and the management would really, really appreciate it.
Most definitely. Back to first-team, Matt. Obviously, Tuesday night, we had the pleasure of hosting Stockport County, Matt. Where to start?
Yes, it was a difficult evening, and largely that is down to the fact that Stockport were probably the best side that I've seen play at Hayes Lane against Bromley in many years. Really, I haven't seen us sort of that restricted in a game, and that includes League One teams. Jeff, at the time, you know, we're talking about Peterborough United, Bristol Rovers at the time, both were in League One. One's now in League Two, and one's in the Championship, but they were very, very well organised, and Dave Challoner has done a phenomenal job there.
Yeah, full credit to Stockport. Obviously, like you say, best team we've seen down here, obviously. What more can you say?
Well, I mean,
obviously one of the largest budgets. Anyway, right, but in terms of crowd on Tuesday night, Matt, Champions League night, Millwall at home.
I was going to say,
awful weather conditions.
When the
2,750 plus.
Possibly.
I mean, absolutely, absolutely brilliant.
What a great effort. And I was going to say, when the weather is as bad as it was, you know, fair play to all of our supporters for coming down to that one. And of course, to the Stockport fans who made the journey. And it was a really good atmosphere again on the night. It was great to see the stadium so full. And football under floodlights is just, it's something else, isn't it? You just can't explain it.
Fair play to Stockport as well. Over 400 of their fans making the journey. But like you say, Matt, 2,300 home fans Tuesday night. Champions League on the telly. Millwall at home. Absolutely delighted. And like I say, I think I put something out on Twitter, Matt. We had the academy lads doing the ball boys. We had the youth kids and parents in attendance. We had Bromley ladies upstairs in the exec club.
Yeah.
We had Bromley bells on the pitch doing the flag waving.
After a couple of beers. And we had AFC Shortlands under 12s as mascots. So thank you to them.
It was brilliant. I really did feel like it all came together, certainly off the pitch anyway. And like I say, an absolutely brilliant crowd. On that note, Matt, obviously we were up in the town centre on Monday.
Yeah,
with a mascot.
Yeah, Ronin the Raven was back doing the rounds of Bromley and surrounding areas. And I did notice, actually, a couple of fans getting some pictures of Ronin and the club staff that were accompanying him. But it was great that Ronin popped into Ronin Marketing, actually. Right. Bromley Village IT and a couple of our other friends, including the Glades and Bromley South as well. So
I've jumped ahead.
Really
I forgot this was supposed to be in a community piece. We've actually got to relive the we've got to relive the action of Stockport now.
Oh, I was trying to gloss over that.
Matt, yourself and Dan were on commentary duty. For those of you that weren't in attendance, here's what they had to say.
Still Quigley finds Southam Hales. Cross into the box from Southam Hales towards Madden, and he scores! And Paddy Madden breaks the deadlock here at Hayes Lane. It was the cross from Southam Hales, the headed finish from Madden, and it nestles in the bottom corner, and Stockport have the lead here inexplicably, really, as Quigley comes forwards now towards the edge of the box. Quigley goes for the shot and scores, and it's a fantastic strike from Scott Quigley, who finds the top corner from all of 25 yards. Throw in taken by Southam Hales into the box, flicked on by Quigley, might reach Madden. It does reach Madden, and it's another goal. And it's a brilliant strike from Madden. Come back on as the ball's played into the box. Hinchliffe has to parry it. Comes out to Webster. Will he shoot? Webster goes for the shot, and it's a phenomenal, phenomenal goal from Byron Webster. What a strike that is. And that is the goal of the night. And we've seen some fantastic goals this evening, but that is a phenomenal strike from Byron Webster.
Well, yes, like we were saying before that, Jeff, it has been a busy week gone by from a community perspective as well. And of course, that includes the visit to Bromley that we spoke about a moment ago.
It's some great photos
being distributed. Absolutely fantastic.
Huge thank you. And a little video. Did you see a little video as well with the kids coming up to the mascot?
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
Huge thank you to Josh, to Adam, to Alex, to Ben, and to, we can't name him, but Ronan the Raven himself.
Incognito, isn't it? Like, yes. What's the fellow on Top Gear?
The Stig.
That's it.
That's right. So it is the Bromley Stig, basically. That's what we're saying. So we can't reveal his identity.
Who is it?
Unfortunately, I don't know. I don't know who it is.
I think some people think it's you or me sometimes.
They probably do.
Oh,
to be fair,
I can't. I'm 6 foot something anyway.
Well, there we go. But yes, it was brilliant to see that, and great to see the impact and the laughs that were had in Bromley. Aside from that, it was our first day of the February half-term soccer camp, and we welcomed an average of around 70 children to Hayes Lane each day this week, which was absolutely brilliant. And despite the weather and despite the rain, everybody had a fantastic time. The coaches really enjoyed themselves as well, and it's great to see so many smiles as the kids left us this afternoon.
It's been brilliant. Today's obviously been the toughest day of the lot, hasn't it, with regards to the wind and the weather and stuff. But like I say, some of the indoor activities that the coaches have pulled together to make sure the kids have had a great time has been brilliant to see. And like I say, we've obviously welcomed Alex on board on the charity.
Yes, big welcome to Alex.
On the operations side of it. And there's so many good people doing some great stuff for the charity. And this week sort of summed that up, really, Matt. It's been really good to see.
Well, it is. And one of those great people is Harry Forster, who, of course, unfortunately is sidelined with an injury at the moment, which is very frustrating, as we all love watching Harry play when he lights up the pitch. However, he's been really at the forefront.
I was going to say, I'm hoping we've not affected his rehab by basically getting him everywhere in the last 10 days.
But actually, he comments on it in the interview. I won't spoil it on actually the impact that this has had on him. Of course, he came to the school visit last week. He's done a lot of interviews and sitting down with us and chatting to people. And he came to see the soccer camp as well.
Ravens chat as well.
Ravens chat. He came to meet everybody, which was great. And actually, David, his shirt sponsor, was in the room, and he was absolutely delighted to meet him, which was a really lovely moment. And it was great for Harry to come down and watch the soccer camp. And I have to say this, that after we finished Harry's official visit, we said, look, whenever you're welcome to leave whenever you like. And he said, no, I want to stay and I want to chat to the kids and the coaches, and he wants to be involved. And I have to say, I had the pleasure of meeting Harry's family a couple of weeks ago at the Notts County game, and you can really see what a lovely family they are, and actually what a fantastic person Harry is, as well as a player, and it's a real pleasure to be able to have people like that around us.
I think we've said when we get to an end of season awards, which would be nice, we haven't had one of them with COVID and everything for a while. Like you say, I think there's definitely a charity award with regards to the
community
best
player of the year,
community player of the year, best ambassador, because there are so many to choose from, and they've been absolutely brilliant for us so far. So can't thank Andy, the staff and the players enough for everything that they do on that side of things. But like you say, Matt, you had the opportunity of catching up with him this week, and here's what he had to say.
Harry Forster, thanks for joining us today. Great to have you with us. It's been a frustrating couple of weeks for you, hasn't it? Obviously, the match against Notts County, picking up the injury early on in the game.
Yeah, it's been so difficult watching from the sidelines the past few games. Any footballer will tell you that it's the lowest point of a player's career being injured. But now, looking on the positive side now, I've got weeks in the gym to get fitter, to get stronger, and just can't wait to get back again and help the team.
And how's the recovery going? You already seem in a much better position than you were a few days ago.
Yeah, no, literally improving day by day. I know it's a cliche, but taking it day by day, and you know, everything, the pain's getting better on it day by day, and and running's fine now, and hopefully the next couple of weeks increase the rehab and get better a lot quicker.
And it's been a tough couple of games for the first team in the league, but we've seen the character that the team's got. That's going to be really important to bounce back, isn't it?
That's the thing, that's the main word, character. Even you know, people are saying it's a really bad result, but if you've got to look at it, Stockport are at the top of the league for a reason. They've what, gone 10 wins in a row, and now the games that we have to win are Weymouth, King's Lynn. We've got now, we've got two games in a row where we've got to get 4 points and hopefully close the gap again on Stockport.
And it is. It's a cliche, like you said a minute ago, but every game's a pretty much cup final now, isn't it, till the end of the season?
That's what it is. We know our aims and goals in the team, and we're gonna do everything we can just to get back up against the big boys at the top of the table.
Talking away from first team, you're very popular here. We're back at the Bromley FC soccer camp, and you've had lots of questions. You've been doing some more refereeing. Have you enjoyed it?
It's been absolute carnage, but I've loved every minute of it. Yeah, been out here ages and just loving speaking to all the kids and getting involved. It's been brilliant.
And it's clear to see it's not only the kids that are big fans of yourself and the team. We've got a great group of coaches here who are getting involved as well.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. You had some lovely words to say about me just a minute ago in front of the kids, and yeah, it's great to hear.
And you've been the forefront of the club's community delivery in the area in the past week. How have you enjoyed that? And then actually, you can probably see yourself the impact that this has on people.
To be fair, I think it's been a massive help for me personally with the injury. It's taken my mind off it, and obviously to see the smiles on all the kids' faces has been absolutely brilliant.
Well, Harry, we hope to see you back on the pitch soon. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you very much.
Always great to hear from Harry, Matt.
Indeed it is, yeah, and like I say, what a fantastic player, what a fantastic guy, and the kids really, really enjoyed it, and some great questions were asked, and actually one of the coaches, I won't name the coach, has made up a song about Harry to the tune of David Bowie, Starman. Something about running down the wing as fast as
I can guess who that is.
Yeah, so I think we all know, and he's probably listening to this actually, so you know who you are. But yes, moving on then, and continuing the theme of first team, we had our usual Thursday catch up with Andy Woodman ahead of Saturday's trip to Kings Lynn Town, and here's what he had to say.
So Andy, just rewinding over the past week and a bit, a couple of tough results to take in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think we always knew that the Stockport game would be a tough game. And that said, I thought we did all right up until half time and then just after, but their game plan works better than ours on the night, and I think we should give them credit really and rather not be too harsh on ourselves. Some good learning lessons in there for us though, of where we, you know, need to get to. So from that point of view, yeah, tough night, but I think we need to be a little bit realistic of where we're at and where they're at as a club.
And sandwiched in between that obviously was the trip to Tunbridge in the FA Trophy, and another tough afternoon, but really good character from a lot of the players and a lot of players that had come in as well.
Yeah, I think we've kind of used that competition to make sure that we utilise the whole squad, and that those boys that have come into those games haven't let us down once, and they've really given us food for thought, you know, for the team going forward. So they've staked their claim, and that's what I want them to do, and they've done that in abundance. So and it was a tough afternoon for football, so they come through that, and we're in the next round of the hat as well for that, so that's exciting.
And particularly for Bromley fans who've been around for a while, penalty shootouts haven't exactly been a strong point over the years, so good to kind of get that out of the way and get the win on penalties.
Yeah, I didn't know that that's sort of background of the penalty shootouts here, but yeah, it was nice to win a penalty shootout, and yeah, like I say, it was a nice reward for the guys for digging in and getting us through the next round of the cup. But credit to Tunbridge, you know, they really made it tough for us on the day.
And the FA Trophy clearly at the quarter-final stage now, something you're taking very, very seriously.
Yeah, I think I've taken it seriously, you know, and from the outside it may look like I haven't, but we have to sort of make sure that our best 11, you know, is also on the league games as well. So if we just keep playing the same boys all the time, you know, we're gonna lose the rest of the squad mentally, and also we're going to pick up probably unwanted injuries. So we have taken it seriously, and then now we're really, you know, we can see Wembley in the sights like all the teams can. So yeah, it'd be nice to progress through to the next stage.
And something that people are still talking about from that Tunbridge game now is one Kellen Fisher. You must be really pleased with his development this season.
Yeah, Kellum's probably one of the youngest members in the group of the younger players. Kellum was excellent. I mean, you know, he really was great on the night. And I think we've got to be careful not to get carried away. He's still a young man learning his trade, and he's still growing into his frame, as we say. So he's one for the future, Kellum, but we've got to make sure we keep him involved and around, because he really give a good account of himself. So I was chuffed for Kellum, and then chuffed probably for his family as well, because I'm quite aware of how much the family support these boys and travel around the country like they do. So I'm really chuffed for them as a family.
Someone that you're missing that I just wanted to draw on at the moment, Harry Forster, doing his recovery, has been really at the forefront of the club's community delivery and really getting involved in the community side of the club in the past week. Really says a lot about Harry and also about the other players that he'll be getting involved too.
Yeah, I think fair play to Harry. I wouldn't expect anything less of Harry or any of the boys. I think the club gets it, you know, the players get it, that what the club is to the community and what the community is to the club. And I think that's probably what makes us a little bit unique compared to maybe one or two other clubs. I'm not saying all of them. So the players get it, and I think that's something that's only going to grow and get better as well. So we understand what the community means to us and what we can add back to the community. So we're only going to keep growing that and making sure that that's part again of the DNA of the players and what we're doing here. That everyone's together.
And post-match on Tuesday night, Billy Bingham said today was about dusting the players down, dusting themselves down, getting ready for Saturday. How's it been?
Yeah, I think we've got in a mindset, and a nice mindset, of not sort of accepting defeat or experiencing too many of them. And they're not nice to take, me included. You know, I've had a nice run here, and it does hurt. So that's all new for a lot of us. Again, we need to sort of have a day to reflect and realise, you know, the quality we was up against. That doesn't mean that we'd sort of roll over and expect to get beat. So we have to reflect now, and we have to learn, and we have to keep sort of progressing like we are. So we've licked our wounds, and we've taken that on the chin. And we'll crack on and start playing for another very tough game, Kingsley away, and then obviously Weymouth on Tuesday. So I keep saying it, there is no easy games in this league, there really isn't. So although, you know, we might look at that was a really hard game, which it was, these games are going to be different problems and equally as hard in different ways. So we're back to drawing board, and we're sort of hopefully going to start trying to put some results on the board again.
Well, Andy, great to catch up as always. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Always great to hear from Andy. Matt, obviously as honest as ever, I thought, in his interview on Tuesday night as well.
He was, wasn't he? Yeah, and it's not an easy one to do in a situation like that, but he's always very honest and very open about how he sees things, and I think that was appreciated in that instance. But it's always great to catch up with him after the event as well. Always emotions are high when you win or lose a game, or even if you draw it and you feel you should have got better. But a couple of days after, everything settles down a little bit, and it's always nice to just collect your thoughts and to sit down with him and have a chat. And it was always great as well for him to highlight the work of the community and the work of Harry Forster and everything that's gone on in the past week, and actually how important he values that as well, which is really, really nice to know. But of course, we're all looking forward to a trip to King's Lynn, or, well, we hope.
We hope, yes. So we're recording just on a Friday evening, aren't we?
We're
hunkered down in the Ravens bar.
Locked in. It's not a lock-in, though.
And, yeah, the 9 a.m. pitch inspection?
It is indeed, isn't it? Which, obviously, the fans coach leaves at 10:15, so we will know by that point. So please do keep an eye on our website and social channels.
That's going to be so frustrating, because people are going to have to make... I mean, I do understand. I believe we've tried everything to get this inspection as early as possible, haven't we? And I think the league and Kingsley and Lewis and Lewis at our end has obviously been in touch to get it as early as possible. And it's frustrating, because I imagine some fans are going to be on their way in, depending on where they're coming from, you know, to get to the club for the coach. So that's really frustrating. You know, let's just hope we know one way soon. You know,
sooner rather than later. Indeed, but of course, if the game does go ahead, Bromley make the trip to the Walks to take on Kings Lynn, who are currently second bottom of the National League table.
I can't remember last year. We went there during lockdown.
We did.
Did we win?
We won 4-1.
Oh, yeah, we did.
It's actually one of my favourite grounds. I really, really like the ground.
It's
got a bit of old school about it, but it's just really, really nice. And the pitch was immaculate as well.
I must admit, the chairman couldn't have been any more hospitable. I know he's got a podcast, hasn't he? And I know a lot of people.
And a reputation.
And a lot of people have got a lot of things to say about him. But he really did give us the time of day we went there. Yeah.
He did look after us on the night. So we're looking forward to that one, hopefully, if it goes ahead. But of course, either way, we will let everybody know the outcome of that 9 o'clock pitch inspection as soon as we have the information. So please, please, please keep an eye on the socials.
It'll
keep
end up
an
being
eye on
9:20
the
or something like that, wasn't it? By the time it
most probably
information comes through to us, everyone agrees. But yeah,
absolutely. Well, all we can do is wait.
Saying that, it's a busy one because we've got that, and then on Tuesday we are at Weymouth.
We are at Weymouth.
Another little short coach journey.
Down the road.
And then Wednesday we're back here because it's the Kent Senior Cup, Matt.
The Kent Senior Cup, which I actually think is a bit of a release for quite a few people and actually something they look forward to. Of course, we are hosting Absolute United here at Hayes Lane on Wednesday, the 23rd of February. It's a 7:45 kickoff, and tickets for that one will be available at the reduced prices very, very soon. So come on down. I'm sure it'll be a mixed
I think they're setting
team.
Up the new Ticketmaster system, aren't they? So I think they're hoping those tickets sales will probably go live on Monday, to be fair, only a few days beforehand. But they're trialling a new system. Hopefully they're going to share some details on Monday as well. I think they've chosen that game to test a new system, so that'll be interesting. All the details, like you say, that I'm sure will be sent out on Monday.
Absolutely. And I think that brings us to an end for episode 98. That's everything.
Episode
isn't
98
it?
Two yes. more to go.
Two more to go. Bish bash bosh.
What are we doing for the 100th episode? Can that be the question? What should we do for the
100th
episode?
That's a great question, actually.
We don't know.
No, we don't, being totally honest. I was going to try and say that we do, but we've got no idea. So if you'd like to tweet us a suggestion or comment on a Facebook, Instagram post, or you can email us, podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk.
Someone's going to say stop.
With your that crossed
cancel
my mind.
Cancel culture.
That's crossed my mind as I was saying that, actually. It's funny you mentioned that.
Oh, dear. But no, a big thank you to everybody who's tuned in today, this evening, this afternoon, whenever you're
or tomorrow.
Listening. As ever, Matt, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Stay safe out there, everyone. Obviously, Storm, what is it?
Storm Eunice.
How do they name them?
I really don't know. Is it something to do with
alphabetical order? So what was the last storm called?
There was Dudley, wasn't there, which was a few days ago.
Oh, was that Dudley?
Yes,
right.
Yeah, so that would make sense as it's D and then Eunice is E, isn't
got
it?
Got you.
So,
and next storm will be Storm...
You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me. And that's the town.